So when I do a teaching mass or a class on the mass, I usually start with why do we celebrate mass? And the answers are usually like to worship God, to keep holy the Sabbath. You know, when I usually get around to an answer, sooner or later, like it's the Last Supper and remembering his death and resurrection. And then if I press it even further, I'll ask, but why do we celebrate Mass like this? Why do we do this? Some will say, well, it's based on the Jewish Passover meal. And if I keep pushing, I say, but why do we take bread and wine and then we have what we call Mass? We come up with something else. And the hint I usually give is that the answer is that every time you celebrate Mass, you hear the reason why. When we hear, take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then the very important phrase, do this in memory of me. And there it is. He told us to do it. He told us to do it this way and to remember in order to remember what he did for us. And why do we memorialize the suffering, death, and resurrection and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross at the Last Supper by eating his body and blood under the appearance of bread and wine? Well, a lot of books, a lot of classes you can take explore this truth as to why it is this way and what it could mean that it's this way. And a lot of things make sense for why we would do this as the new Passover meal. But for me, when all that goes away, the answer is, he said to. He commanded us to do this, to take bread and wine in memory of his sacrifice. And that's why we do it. We would have to come up with a million other ways, he could have, really, for us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. But he chose this way. And so this is the way we do it. And I'll say to kids who say that, you know, while Mass is boring, to take it up with Jesus when you see him. But for here and now, until he comes again, this is how he told us to remember what he did for us on the cross. And so that's why we do it. Now, for sure, there's a lot of meaning and a lot of spirituality and a lot of pretty amazing things we can learn about the Mass. And that could be said about the use of unleavened bread and wine and the connection with the Passover that would become the body and blood of his sacrifice. But the most basic reason why we even do Mass is because Jesus left us this way, the way of the covenant, and told us to do it in memory of him. So I'd like to explore with you three kind of basic objections that I hear about Mass that I'd like to answer kind of this morning. The first I often hear a lot of people will say, especially if they don't want to go to Mass, is you don't have to go to Mass to pray. And people will tell me that they get more out of communing with God at the beach, or maybe walking in the forest, or listening to a dynamic speaker, or just being up in one's room to pray. You don't have to go to Mass to pray, and that is obvious. Hopefully you're not only praying at Mass, because that would not be a pretty in-depth prayer life for 1 hour a week. Hopefully that, of course, you know, the church is not the only place where one prays. Hopefully we're praying at the beach and while we're walking in the woods and listening to a dynamic speaker who inspires us, or just going up to our room to pray. A life of prayer encompasses all parts of our life. But there is one thing you can't do at the beach, you can't do in the woods, and you can't do up in your room. You can't attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receive the sacred body and blood. That's what we do here. So along with this, the objection, I don't have to go to Mass to pray, is the ever famous, I don't believe that I have to go to Mass to get to heaven. I'll hear that oftentimes. And that may or may not be true, but let's assume then that there will be many in eternal life who have never been to Mass. But remember that in a car, and this is kind of for me what's important, in a car from Maine, the state of Maine, you do not have to go through New Hampshire to get to Massachusetts, but it's sure a lot easier if you do, right? Because going up through Canada and coming back down through Vermont or New York, it's a bit longer and a lot harder. And it can be done. Depending upon the weather, it could even be dangerous and risky to do it that way. Go through the mountains. Why wouldn't you just take 95 down? And Jesus gave us the way. And he told us that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. And whoever eats this flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life, and he will raise them on the last day. So he gave us the way. And so we come here to receive the food of eternal life. He gave us the way, and we can refuse it because we prefer another way that we think is better. But why would you risk it? Just in case you're wrong. It would seem like he would know the way to eternal life better than maybe we would. You know, and then the final objection I always say, I want to bring up when I'm talking about people and I'm at their homes and we talk about Mass, is that Mass is boring. And I looked up the word boring because I was like, we use it all the time, but what does it really mean? The definition is not interesting or tedious. And I guess that would be true, you know, about many of the homilies we give. As a matter of fact, you might be even thinking about that right now with this homily. And I would say offer it up, right, in the offertory in a few minutes and join it to the sufferings of Christ. But in all seriousness, the homily usually carries a lot of weight in the judgment made of Mass by a lot of people today. In the 7 minutes and 12, if I'm on a roll, right, the homily ends up defining a lot of people's experience of Mass. Good homily, good Mass, bad homily, bad Mass. When really, today, when you want a good reflection on the readings, you know, and our homilies are not that interesting to you here in Lewiston, Maine. Today, more than ever, you have the greatest gift of all, finding your favorite homilist online. You can every week hear some great inspiring people, much more inspiring than maybe we ever are. But you can't receive the sacred body and blood online. And for us, that means everything. And if it's uninteresting or tedious, i.e. boring, to go to the altar of God, the foot of the sacrifice of Christ, to be fed by his divine life, I'm not sure then dressing it up with all kinds of other things that distract us from this most basic thing would ever help us in the spiritual life, to grow closer to Christ on the cross. So I would like to offer you, after these three objections, offer you two ideas as only the beginning, the very beginning of growing in great love and devotion for the sacrifice of Christ on the cross that we celebrate here at Mass. When we gather, it is ritual. Now, I'm not unapologetic to say that it is ritual. It really is. We do the same thing over and over again in one sense, but in another sense, it's not the same thing. It's only one thing we'll ever do. And human beings are ritualistic, right? And when we gather as God's holy people on the day of the resurrection we call Sunday, we know exactly what we are going to do. I don't have to come up with something really cool and amazing Come up with something that's just absolutely interesting, that's captivating. Because we know who we are and we know what we do. That God's holy people open up the Bible and we remember the holy sacrifice. That's who we are. We don't just read anything that might be really amazing. And we don't just do anything. We know what to do in the important moments of our lives. We do the Eucharist because we are Eucharistic people who thank God for becoming man, speaking to us and leaving the Bible for us to remember all the things he said, and then celebrating the sacrifice of the Eucharist to remember what he did, lest we forget. And it is so, so easy to forget. You know, which leads me to the second idea. Along that we are people of ritual, we also do the ritual so that we never forget. Life, especially today, can pull us away from God and make us forget. And that's why I think it's very important that Christ calls us each week to remember. Remember that our divine life flows from the sacrifice of the Lord on the cross. And when we forget this, then the ritual can become pretty tedious and uninteresting. In other words, boring. But when that's the center of your life, how could it possibly be? But then again, of course, that would be just one more thing that Jesus said and did that an unbelieving world finds uninteresting. But hopefully for you, but certainly for me, it is the very reason why we come here. And I find that very, very interesting.